Arizona is one of the states now being hit hardest by the coronavirus outbreak. So far, there have been almost 124,000 confirmed cases of COVID-19, and nearly 2,300 people have died. Last week, the state had the nation's highest rate of positive coronavirus test results, according to CBS News. Throughout the pandemic, Black, Latino, and Native American communities have been experiencing massive disparities in infection rates, and Arizona is no different. In Arizona's Maricopa County, Latino residents have been twice as likely to become infected with COVID-19 as non-Latino residents, and in late May, the Navajo Nation had one of the highest infection rates in the country. 2 weeks ago, The Takeaway spoke to an emergency medical doctor in Phoenix, Dr. Frank LaVecchio, and he told us about the demographics of the coronavirus patients he was seeing in emergency rooms.
The great majority of people that come in that I see are Hispanic or Latin origin. And I think that has something to do with our population, which is, you know, very Latino, but also, you know, they're very relatively underserved, blue-collar workers. Many of them have taken public transportation or used other areas where they have to congregate, et cetera. Many of them live in multifamily homes. So disproportionately Latino. And the people who are getting killed are the Native Americans.
Understanding why Arizona's Latino communities are being hit so hard by COVID-19 is where we start today. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. I'm joined now by Dr. Francisco Moreno, Associate Vice President of Diversity and Inclusion for the University of Arizona School of Medicine and the Director of the University of Arizona's Hispanic Center for Excellence. Dr. Moreno, thanks for joining us.
Yes, thank you for having me.
Also with us is Michaela Chesson, a reporter for the Arizona Republic. Michaela, thanks for being with the show.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Moreno, let's start with you. Where are some of the counties where we're seeing the highest rates of infections, particularly by race and ethnic demographics?
The border counties of Yuma and Santa Cruz, where the cities of Yuma and Nogales have the largest proportion in the border with Mexico. Also, the counties of Apache and Navajo, where the Navajo reservation is at, are the four counties with the highest proportion of individuals that are affected with COVID right now.
Dr. Moreno, Latino Decisions, the polling outfit today, released some information, some data saying that over the last month, Latinos experienced an upsurge not only in the rate of infections, but also in deaths associated with COVID-19, particularly in the South and the West. Does that correlate with what you're seeing on the ground?
Yes, absolutely. Latinos are being affected, and the numbers of Latinos tested positive has increased dramatically, but also a very large proportion of Latinos are not being tested. Latinos are also affected by a number of conditions that may complicate their response to their interaction with the virus. So often we see them requiring medical attention and having negative outcomes like complications and death.
Michaela, what are some of the main factors that your reporting is showing could be driving the high rates of infection among Latino communities in Arizona? We heard Dr. LaVecchio in the introduction here point some of those out, but I'm curious what you're seeing.
Yeah, like Dr. Moreno said, these barriers are met where Latino communities are not having enough resources. I talked to a doctor on the ground who compared it to a Titanic with not enough lifeboats. And part of this is the positive tests and the hospitalizations are one measure, though they fluctuate based on who gets tested and the availability of testing. There were multiple testing blitz events on Phoenix's west side that had families waiting in line for more than 12 hours in the summer heat. So we're seeing an issue of not only enough resources, but an issue of a strategic plan for leadership and officials when the state reopened quickly and abruptly and not being able to meet with enough testing in these areas.
Michaela, has Arizona Governor Doug Ducey or any other state leader spoken specifically about what effect COVID-19 is having on Latino communities and even indigenous communities in Arizona?
He has said that in recent weeks after these testing blitz that they want improvement for these areas, but it's still hard to see a strategic plan from this leadership.
Dr. Moreno, one of the things that was found here in New York City after we experienced the peak here in March and April, reporting in the New York Times, showed that it really depended on which type of hospital someone with the virus was treated at, and whether or not they would survive, or their outcome was really, if you're at a good hospital, you're more likely to survive than if you're not. Do you see that? I mean, is the type of treatment that's available to Latinos in the state generally what they're looking for, what they need? Is it high quality care?
So to borrow the metaphor from Ms. Chetson, the Titanic didn't have enough boats, but also if you remember the movie of the Titanic, there were certain individuals that were reserved, some of the first boats, the premier boats, less crowded. They just kind of got a very different service than some of the folks that were in the lower quality tickets of the boat. And the same thing, unfortunately, is happening in Arizona. Latinos and Native Americans, individuals from very disadvantaged financial backgrounds, are also in those tickets of the Titanic that may be less able to access care at all, or by the time they come for care, it's because they're very, very sick. The hospitals in Arizona tend to be collaborative, and there's, of course, variability in the quality of care that individuals have. However, I would say working with one of the largest state networks in the state at Banner Health, the services provided by this network is very similar regardless of the location.
Michaela, what has the Latino, if you will, community has said about this? I mean, are we hearing from community leaders who are saying they need more? And if so, are they looking for more testing, more treatment, more awareness, more mask wearing? What exactly are we hearing from the community?
Yeah, it's taking a large effect from what I've heard from the community, not only financially or physically, but emotionally. So I talked to one Valley man, Ricardo Aguirre, who lives in the community, and he's had five family members die from the virus. Both of his parents have been hospitalized, so was him and his wife. His two kids also tested positive. And then during this time, their business has suffered and hasn't been able to operate due to these hospitalizations, and his hands are full taking care of his parents. And then on top of that, there's grieving. And so I know I was talking to a representative of the district, and he told me that the virus has become really personal at this point. And most people know someone that has been infected or has been infected themselves, and they're dealing with the implications that have come with that. And I know the reaction from that, they're really trying to band together during this really hard time period.
Dr. Moreno, what's your assessment of the type of outreach that the state has done to inform Latinos about the virus, but also to make available more testing or encourage CDC practices like social distancing and mask wearing? What level would you say that the state, how well would you say that the state has done with that?
Well, the state and all collaborators, all partners, I think we have failed the Hispanic community. We are, at this point, have been unable to obtain a sense of awareness and a commitment to behaviors from the Hispanic community that, of course, it comes from a variety of factors, but an orchestrated, targeted campaign to really provide advice and promote the use of social distancing and other public health measurements has not really taken place, and it's sorely needed, and we still have an opportunity to do that right now.
Michaela, where does it stand? Where does the state stand in terms of its reopening practice right now? I mean, we know that a lot of the states that are experiencing these sudden upticks in coronavirus cases are largely for two reasons. One, because people are not taking the precautions recommended by the CDC. That includes wearing masks. But the other is just that businesses may have opened a little too quickly. What are you hearing from Arizona officials about mitigating that right now?
Yeah, we have a new executive order where the government closed down or paused operations at bars, gyms, movie theaters, tubing, things that were open too quickly at a couple weeks back when he decided to lift that order. So now we're back pausing operations to help mitigate the spread of the virus.
Dr. Moreno, in terms of outreach, I'm wondering if there are different types of outreach and or, I mean, because when we talk about the Latino community, it's such a big group of people. And I'm wondering if there are differences in terms of immigrant non-documented populations versus people who are citizens. Are undocumented folks concerned about coming forward to get tested? Are they worried about if they get tested that might trip some sort of, you know, alert to their status versus, you know, their ability to be safe? I mean, are you hearing from that population at all?
Yes, absolutely. Of course, as you mentioned, the Latino community is a very heterogeneous group of folks, and even the immigrant community, they lie in a continuum between being completely undocumented to being somewhere in the limbo awaiting a process that will take place of eventually giving them a green card or all the way to citizenship. Those individuals often do not have access to health care. Many of them do not have insurance, of course, and they have less established primary services. They really don't have a place to go. And a lot of the options that have been brought up to the community, as Ms. Chesson mentioned, are very difficult to come by. Standing in the heat at 110 degrees for 12 hours, it's just unreasonable, especially for individuals that are suspecting of having an illness of some sort. So definitely they're concerned about their privacy, they're concerned about repercussions, they're concerned about the impact that this may have in any process that they have for petitioning for immigration or legalization efforts.
We know that the virus is also tending to affect people that have coexisting comorbidities right now. Are the Latinos who are being affected by the coronavirus also largely, do we know if they're younger, if they're older, if they're people who have comorbidities? We've got less than a minute.
It's a mix of individuals that are affected. Definitely folks that are in the age ranges where they're working and out in the community and not protecting themselves are more likely to be affected. Yet folks that have the chronic illnesses, those that are of advanced age, are more likely to have the complications still and the death. So those numbers remain very high.
Dr. Francisco Moreno is the director of the University of Arizona's Hispanic Center for Excellence, and Michaela Chesson is a reporter for the Arizona Republic. Thanks to you both.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.